I was thinking about Bethlehem as she sang that song. Been there. We have a missionary there, Arab-born brother named Stephen Corey, that under great persecution is able to minister to the Arabs and the Jews. And we have supported him from our faith promise also. And by the way, David said the faith promise will be over. No, it's not over. We start again. Okay. we have a banquet coming up January the 24th. You'll come in that morning, and there'll be tables everywhere, and you'll have a seat and enjoy ministry about what's going on overseas and around the world. And we will be blessed to do that. Good morning, everyone. It's a great day to be together. It's kind of a pre-Christmas service. Some of our people are already gone to their holidays, but we are so thankful to have all of you here today as we can worship together as a family of God. So blessed to have Michael back with us for a while. He certainly did a great job. He kept texting me when his flight got delayed, and then he got the other place and it got missed and all of that. And I said, well, it's just another missionary story that you're going through. Been there, done that. And somehow God gets us back to where we need to be. Maybe a little later or whatever, but he brings it back to where we need to be. Where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be. That's right. Michael Kwan, would you stand up, brother, and your recently engaged fiance? We just want to say thank you for wearing that uniform to our service this morning. We appreciate our military, and we appreciate you. And thank you for being home for a while. Thank you for kind of bringing Christmas joy to your Mama Jane. Okay? Thank you so much. You can be seated. Okay? You don't have to sing or pledge allegiance or anything like that, but I appreciate what our military has done for our country through the years to bring us the freedom that we have. And people that have given the ultimate sacrifice, those that have served, and we're just so thankful that you're with us this morning, Michael. Have a great, great break. And I know they're waiting for you back somewhere else. Illinois, I believe. Ship? Japan, okay. Kawasaki, okay. It was truly tremendous last night as we were able to be here. Most of the time I would get in right as the people were leaving because I had traveled all day from Mexico. Someone said about our trip to Mexico, well, how sad. And I said, no, not really, because there is nothing sad about the will of God. And when the authorities in Reynosa posted a red alert, and our pastor had a grim look on his face, and we as little white-faced Americans, I tried for years to get browner, but it just hasn't worked yet. And we certainly heard the word that said, for safety's sake, well, let's depart. We kind of left our bombs and fled. But what actually happened is that we had great meetings last Monday night at Segovia and at the Lopez units. The Lord blessed us to go in there and make a difference in those lives. And then on Tuesday night, had a great fellowship together. And Wednesday morning, a good message that we heard. And had a time there of working on the property and doing those things that need to be done. Alex Saurelli's father, said that I need an electrician, I need automotive repairman, I need a carpenter, I need a plumber, and we had all of those. You see how the body of Christ works? And so we did work there. We saw Maurice handle it very well, literally. Okay, you got that, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, he handled it. He's the plumber. And he handled it very well. Okay, we'll go on. We are just looking forward to all that God is doing through this Christmas season, and we pray for our students Nicholas Casas was in an accident on Wednesday and had to put a titanium rod in his back yesterday. Car accident. By the way, someone rammed into me, and I've got not that van sitting outside, but Charlotte's car that I was in, and it's kind of totaled, I think, bent frame and so on, and my arm was injured, but it's well now, thank the Lord. But we live in that kind of world where that you know that you're brushing shoulders with eternity every day, and we are blessed that God took care of us and brought us through that. We've been praying for one of our Faith Promise missionaries in the Philippines. Besides Joe and Marianne, well, we have Tony and Krista and there, and they have a premature baby that was born Thanksgiving, supposed to be Valentine. And so we have been praying for them. I'm going to read you what I just found here. Today, Hezekiah is 930 grams. He's past the two-pound mark. His feeding is up to 7 cc's every 3 hours. He found his fingers this morning. We're so thankful for all the Lord is doing in his body. Jesus is so amazing. Can you imagine having a preemie baby that far away from home in the Philippines, and yet we see how that God is moving in that direction, and we've been praying on our intercession days there. We've been praying for him, and we know that God is going to do that work. Let's pray for Nicholas this morning too. Lord, we pray for Nicholas Casas this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord God, for Lynn. We pray, God, for all that's involved there, in this accident. Lord, just pray that there will be no infections, no complications, and that he will be able to have that spine just healthy again. And Lord, we know that you can do it. We pray for little Hezekiah this morning, oh God. We pray that you will continue, as you have done, to give him the life that you had planned for him. Lord, be with Tony and Christy today, God, that you would bless them and help them. And Lord, we ask you to be with Jerry and Rita, the grandparents as well, our former associate pastor, Lord. We ask you to just touch all of these as we hold them up, Lord. Thank you for the prayers of the saints. Lord Jesus, thank you that we are able to just couple together with you, to be knitted together with you, and say, not our will, but your will be done. Lord Jesus, Lord, we pray for Carla this morning, God. We pray continuing to believe, oh God, and just thank you that we can have a part in providing ministry that would be able to help her and give her strength. But Lord, you are our ultimate strength, and we just praise you, and we thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. The Lord dropped this in my heart. It's not too original this time of the year, but it's called A Gift of God. And we are in this Christmas season. I guarantee you, if you're a visitor this morning, you won't always see balloons in our church. There will be a change of pace, and we'll be moving into the new year. On the 31st at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a celebration here, celebrating the new year together. And we'll be here in praise and prayer and fellowship and food. And we are just going to rejoice together. And you'll see the marquee out there. We'll say something about New Year's Eve celebration, 9 p.m. till at least midnight. We'll have a countdown. And so we are just going to have a family time here on New Year's Eve. But there's giving going on, and I just want to tell you that God is a giver. He is not a taker. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so God is a giver, and he wants to give you a new life every day. He wants to refresh you and bring you into his presence every day, that we would be able to have a life that he intended for us. We'd be able to walk in truth and walk in life and walk in the Spirit He is not a taker. He is a giver. The gift of God that he has for us. As I looked at several scriptures that actually have those words, surprisingly, the first one that I went to was in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9 through 13, says, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God with which the sons of man are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor." So I guess that will take care of chicken and dressing and turkey and dressing and chocolate pie and pecan pie. It says that this is a gift of God. It is the gift of God. And chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 said, "As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart." I believe what he's saying here is that our daily energy is a gift of God. The very fact that we are able to get up and go to work, that we're able to get up and take care of the chores around us, that is a gift that God has given us. And I pray every day for divine healing, but also divine health, and for longevity of life and a quality of life to live for God and fulfill his divine purposes and leave a legacy that will honor his name. And that should be all of our prayer, that we would be able to do that. And the energy that we have is a gift from God. And when you've lost it and you get it back, you really appreciate that. As I went through 5 surgeries, and I remember the day that I came in this side door with a walker, and everybody applauded, and they were glad that I was still alive, but I'm so glad that I can run up the steps now, you see, because that is a gift of God. All healing is a gift of God. And whether it's through the medical profession or whatever, they said that Nicholas Casas had a titanium rod in his back, and I said, "Well, I've got a titanium hip in my side here." But all of that is good, because it comes from God, and that we can believe for that energy. I just want to tell you something this morning. I've never had one of those energy drinks. I don't really know what they are. I see people going over there to that station and getting them and so on. But it's good, I guess. But God gives us energy every day, and we are able. And that with that energy comes a heart to do the work. It comes a right motive to do the work. It gets us out of that pit of depression and raises us up to say, "Yes, I can walk in this world in victory. I can leave the past behind." Did you know the past is over? And that the future is unlimited, because we don't know what it is. The future is ours, and we are able to do that. And so we recognize the fact that God has given us the ability to work. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." And I was just thinking last night about what I saw of the giving that was going on, not just the gifts, but just the love and the fellowship. And I just looked around, and 90% of the people I didn't know, because they were people that had come in. And we were able to do that. And I thought, that's why we receive, that we may give to those who have need. And there was definitely a need in children whose parents were in jail in this area. And so there was, you could just see that there was just that difference between the gloom that would produce and the joy that would be there when love was expressed. And I do thank all of you that participated and gave those gifts and gave of yourself to those that have need. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. And I would just say again, there is something for all of us to do. There's a little chorus song we used to sing, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I may do. It may be humble, but help my will to crumble. And what's the rest of it? Anyway, it's a good song. That surely there's something we could do. And as we approach this year here at this church, I want you to believe that there is something new that you can do. I don't know. We just turned Shelby loose because he's got this Sage Meadows now out down the road about 5 miles from us, and those people are coming out. They had a Christmas gathering there, and the manager says, I've got another apartment I want y'all to look at. And, you know, it's just being there and just showing God's love. It's not really what we give. It's just being available. Brother Clay Allen back there just puts up a sign that says free prayer, and they just start stopping and coming in. Surely there's a work we can do. And so we do it what our hand finds to do. Do it with all of our might. And Brother Robert would tell you that there is plenty of work to be done here. The scripture says the poor have you with you always, and I say maintenance you have with you always. We hope to fix this roof. You know, we don't want to baptize people with the leaks off there, and we want to fix it, and that's in our plan. We are about ready to occupy the building next door. Thank the Lord. That's because of work, and Brother Don is here. He did a lot of the finish work there, and others, and with that team of tile layers that came every day, and that was such a blessing to see us get that done, and so we're not finished yet. We've got space to build back here, and so we're not going to stop. We're going to let hope live. One of our former students from years back wrote me and said, "Thank you. You'll like this, Joe. It's a medical clinic that says hope is practiced here. Hope is practiced here." Can we believe that? That hope is practiced here? That'd be a good marquee sign, wouldn't it? Amen. I want to talk to you about another person that found the gift of God. It's a message I like. It's called The Woman at the Well. And John 4:10, and then I'll go through the passage there. But 4:10 says, Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You see, knowing Jesus is the gift. He is the gift of God. And it said, if you knew the gift of God, other people saw him, but then he said, if you knew that knew the gift of God. And I don't know for sure, but it's probably conocer in Spanish. I hope it is. But it would be personally knowing him. If you knew him and who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water. He is the gift. He is the giver of living water. That's what will be there. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give, it will be to him a well springing up, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He will never thirst again. This woman said to him, give me of this water so I don't have to draw it myself. And so there are people that come to the Lord. They come to church. They come because it's more convenient for what they'll get out of it. And that is what she was saying. You mean I don't have to use my energy to draw water anymore? I can just have this water. I'll never be thirsty again. And people come to the Lord out of convenience. However we come, it's good because we need to come to the Lord. Sometimes people come to the Lord because they're in distress. I've had people say that, and I asked one guy, I said, when did you get saved? He said, while I was being arrested. He said, they were chasing me, and I turned the car upside down, and I looked up and had shotguns in my face. I said, Lord, I'm finished. I need you. And, you know, that may be a way that we come, but it will not be the lasting reason for us to come to the Lord. We must fall in love with Him, that we are able to know Him and to be able to have fellowship with Him. And not just because it's convenient, because true salvation is not just saying, well, I need to do something to change my life. It may be a start, but true salvation is when we say, it's not my life anymore. Lord, I give it to you. The greatest altar call I could ever give is, will you give your life to Jesus today? Not will you sign a line and say, okay, I accepted the Lord, but that I want to give my life to Jesus. So we recognize that that's what true salvation is. We'll go through this story this morning. I love this story, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. King James says, I must needs go through Samaria, that I've got to do it. And of course, the Jews did not go that way. They would bypass it. But Jesus said, I'm going to go there. And I truly believe that God wants us to not take the bypass, but to take the scenic route to where people are. And that's where we reach out. Last night, as I saw the people that come in, I realized that back in those jail cells were their daughters or their mamas or their sons or their fathers that were there, knowing that their child was getting a gift at this church. And how did that happen? Well, Aaron and I and one of the deputies went cell to cell in every place and just told. It took us about a total of 2.5 hours to make those contacts. And then look what happened last night. You see, they came. They came. The word got out. They had to do their part, but the word got out. And, you know, it's there. We did not take the bypass. We took the scenic route. We saw the need that was there. He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will be come to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said, go call your husband and come here. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one to whom you're living with now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. I want to pause there and just say that God knows. You can't hide things from God. He knows. He sees all you do. He hears all you say. We should have the fear of God in our lives that He is there. He is there and He knows. And Jesus, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. Yes, more than a prophet. She said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Lord is seeking that which we will acknowledge him, and that we have no idols in our life, but we will worship him. God is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. When they went to arrest Jesus, he said, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. When he said the I am, they fell to the ground. Again, he says, I am he. I that am speaking to you am he. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who's told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. I do believe that God is wanting us to go beyond what we have done these 25 years as this fellowship, and that we're to go even farther into reaching. And I have a team that went to the unit yesterday over at Rusk and passed out things to those ladies there. Cynthia and Julie were able to join. Hannah Overton had raised funds for every lady at the unit where she was, at Lane Murray unit, and they were able to go and to be a light in a dark place and serve a great purpose. And our teams continue to go out every Sunday. Well, we have the Simpsons that go over into the unit there at Overton, and we just continue to send teams out. We just picked up another prison, a Beto unit, where we're able to send Randall and Rhonda, and we are able to continue to go out into these neighborhoods and to bring this, because the field is white unto harvest. And folks, we don't know how much more time we've got. This is going to be a very critical year for our country. And we know that as believers that there is a possible persecution that is coming and already is, and that we've got to realize that even so, we are not to be idle. We are not to be isolationist, but we're to be infiltrators into the world around us, for it's ready for harvest. And that there are people that are thirsty. They just don't know what it's for. I've been told by Muslim missionaries that there is a hunger among the Muslim people that they've never seen before, and that we are able to tell them that the Messiah, Jesus, is real. I was thinking, as Kimberly sang the song this morning about about Bethlehem morning, that but we were there the first year, Charlotte and I, in 2007, and that saw a bumper sticker that said, Messiah now. Things are so bad that they were wanting the Messiah, not knowing that he did come. He did come on that Bethlehem night, that morning that followed, and that he is. And yet they are thirsting because they know not the reality. Had one man tell me that in one day he was as much for Jesus being the Messiah as he was against it the day before. Why? Because the Holy Spirit revealed that. That's why we must pray for the lost to be saved, for the Holy Spirit to go and do that. 2010, I was there, and our guide, I've never seen a person like that. He knew the Bible more than I did, and he would actually talk about it, and with tears in his eyes. And as I began to talk to him and ask him about his faith, he said, "No, I don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah." And I said, "But you are so passionate when you talk." And he said, "Oh, I could get teary-eyed over Alice in Wonderland." Folks, I want to tell you that this is not a fable. This is God's truth, and that this is what will save a person and set them free, and that we see that this is God's gift to us, gift of salvation. We recognize that gift, and I just want to show you something. I don't know who put this here, or if this was part of the drama last week, but it might help me to walk around a little bit. And also for you to see, what does it say? Salvation. Yes, God's gift that he's given to us. The greatest gift in the world is that God gave us salvation, that Jesus provided salvation for us, and that we are able to receive that great salvation. Now, John 6:44 says that no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, but I will raise him up on the last day. So we pray for that. Salvation is by grace. Are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, not by works, lest anyone should boast? And what is the grace? It is the desire to do God's will and the power to do God's will. And that's when a person is ready to accept the Lord, when they realize that suddenly they have that desire to do his will. Before, they might have said, "Well, I wouldn't walk down that aisle and everybody looking at me." But when they're desperate for that water that satisfies, that living water, they will run. I still continue to have that dream and that belief that there's going to be a time that backsliders will come home. They will run in that door back there. They will run to this altar, and they will realize that they are in desperate need of salvation. They need to come back to the Lord. They've got to have peace again with the Lord. And we accept that is the Lord. We have cheapened salvation to just pray this prayer. As I said before, true salvation is when you repent of your sins. Repentance is to see your sin, hate your sin, turn away from your sin, and turn towards Jesus and follow him. Salvation is when we follow the Lord, not just say, "Well, okay, I went down there and I did what they want me to do." No, it is true salvation when we find that we are giving ourselves up. We're giving up. We're giving in. We're saying, "I've got to come to the Lord." A great gift. Another gift that we have is the baptism in the Holy Spirit that Jesus provided for us after he was ascended into heaven. John 14:16, Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Another version says, "I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Yes, the Holy Spirit was there as Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He says that it was with you, but I will go to my Father, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he did. He ascended into heaven. He sat down, and then he sent down. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he sent down the Holy Spirit to be with us. We find another passage about the gift of God in Acts 8:14-23. "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For it as yet was not fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost." So there was an evidence there that they were able to recognize that they had received inside of them the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he was a sorcerer. He offered them money, saying, "Give me also of this power that whoever I lay hands on may receive the Holy Ghost." Peter said to him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Then he says to Simon, the sorcerer, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps in the sight of God that thine own heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." And so he wanted that gift, but he wanted it the wrong way for the wrong reasons. And someone said when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, "Well, I'm glad I got that over with." It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a commencement. It's the power to live a new life. It's the power to witness for the Lord. We want to have a year coming up where that we are filled with the Spirit of God, and that we are can truly say, "It's not by might nor by power, but it's by thy Spirit, says the Lord." The gift of God. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." We recognize that that gift is for us, and we must desire the gift of God, salvation, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God's gift was Jesus. He gave us Jesus, and that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Jesus that came, Messiah in a baby's body, and that Jesus grew up. He called his disciples. He called them to himself. For 3.5 years, they walked. They did miracles. They saw him. And then he went to the cross. And that's how our salvation was provided, as Jesus became the substitute for us. Our sins nailed him to the cross. We accept him as our Redeemer, as our substitute. And he comes, and we are able to have his salvation. He died. He was dead. They buried him. They didn't call it Good Friday till after the resurrection. On Sunday morning, he was resurrected from the dead. He was seen by 50 people. 120 went to the upper room. He ascended into heaven, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. His gift to us was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As we receive the Holy Spirit, then we receive other gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. So what do we do to give back to him? If we're going to give a gift, sometimes you think, well, if we receive a gift, then we need to give a gift. What gift does God want from us? Our gift is to worship him. Our gift to him is to magnify him. Our gift is to worship the Father, and what else? To minister to those that he loves, as we are able to give that gift back to him. So we are celebrating Jesus, the greatest gift in the world. I'm going to ask Anna to come at this time, and we're going to see what the Lord wants to do with the rest of our time here together this morning. Would you stand with me, please? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are our gift, and that the gift of God has been provided for us. Lord, that we don't have to be thirsty anymore, that we can have that living water that is there. Lord, we ask you this morning to renew us, restore us. There's those here this morning that never knew you, that they could be convinced that they can accept you by faith, by giving up and giving in and letting you be the King, the Lord of their life. Lord, there's perhaps people here that have fallen away from you, fallen back into a sinful practice. But Lord, we know that your mercy is new every morning, and that you're ready and able and eager to receive them back. That prodigal son or daughter that would say, I'm coming home. A father that's looking up the road every day wanting them to come home. A father that's ready to say, you're mine. I forgive you. The Lord our Savior, the Lord our baptizer, the Lord who desires to put that hunger in our hearts for more of you, for the Holy Spirit in our lives, we pray. Lord Jesus, you're here this morning and you want to walk that aisle and say, I do want to receive that gift of salvation. Here at this Christmas season, 2015, I want to receive that gift of salvation. We're going to wait a moment. You come, there'll be others that will come around you and pray with you. You won't be alone. Don't say no to the Lord. We have one here this morning that would say, I want to come back to the Lord. I've wandered away, but I want to come back to Him. One of the ladies come and pray with Crystal. Anyone else? Lord, we pray that you would give us that grace, that desire, that power to worship you in spirit and in truth, to put all idols aside that we might worship you, the God of our salvation. Lord, we thank you, God, that you have provided these gifts for us. And we want to freely give to others what you've given to us. Lord Jesus, I want to have a showing of hands. If in your heart, as you face a new year, that you'd say, I want to give myself in service to the Lord this year. I want to find that vineyard. I want to find that place. I want to find that harvest. I want to be part of it. I want to bring someone else to the Lord in the coming months. I want to share my faith with the Lord. Yes, God, you see those hands, Lord. We pray that you would let us be that blessing to others, that we would go into the darkness with the light and we would serve fervently, O God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bring that about, O God, that we would be salt wherever we're at, that we would draw those around us, that we would be able to lead them to you. Lord God, that we could be the church that would be a hope, not just in name only, but would be hope. Lord, we pray for these motels around us, God, these people that are in such great need. Lord, you said that we might give to those who are in need. Lord, we ask you to be with everything, even as we plan the new year, oh God, that we would be able to see all that you're wanting to do and say through us and for us, God. Ask you to do it, Jesus. Amen. Lord God, we praise you. Jason has said a message. Wanted to let everybody know that we're home, but also to avoid pop-ins, please call or text before coming over right now, and just continue to pray that we would see that. I'm so glad that they're home and that Carla's able to have people around her, and we are just going to be with them. We're going to walk with them for the journey. Amen. Amen. Stretch your hand this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. El Señor te bendiga y te guarde. El Señor te mire con agrado y te extiende su amor. El Señor te muestra su favor y te conceda la paz. Go and find a need and meet it. Go and find a hurt and heal it. Go and be a light. Be able to give everybody that asks you the reason for the hope that is within you. And come back on Wednesday night and next Sunday, the last Sunday of the year. But if you are going on home to somewhere, we just bless you and tell you to remember us in prayer as we remember you. God bless you. We love you. And we thank God for you. Amen.